All right. Welcome back to the Winnipeg Weight Loss Show. Long overdue. We've had a busy last 3-4 weeks with going to Toronto, humble brag, to collect an award and speak and learn about how to become a better coach and continue to evolve, and a week in Mexico, which was really great with the fam. So today we're diving deep, and it might create some haters on today's episode of the Winnipeg Weight Loss Show because we're saying F plants and we're putting the power back on protein. Because if I had a dollar for every time someone mentioned a Netflix documentary as a source of changing their dietary habits, I wouldn't be recording this podcast. I'd be retired, living out my days in Playa del Carmen. But I digress. Maybe you've watched a documentary like Game Changers, or You Are What You Eat, the more recent one with twins, and you immediately dumped all the meat from your freezer into the garbage. Now, this isn't going to be a diatribe against these documentaries per se. They're well presented. They're entertaining. However, they're full of holes if you poke at them a little bit. And well, I'm here to present the facts from both sides. Okay. Plants shine in terms of vitamins, antioxidants is a big word, and phytochemicals, fiber, etc. Animal meats, however, have a high percentage of protein, richer in minerals such as iron, fatty acids, omega-3s, B vitamins. So, as is the secret to life, I just saw an interview with a 114-year-old man, moderation goes further than extremism in either direction. Here's what I do know, though. You can lose fat on a plant-based diet or a meat-based diet. Carnivore, vegan, I'm going to suggest the truth lies somewhere in the middle. But you can also be unhealthy on both those approaches, or very healthy on both those approaches. So don't make this yelling match between vegan advocates and meat eaters. I find both can be brought to the table and make for a very balanced, healthy, non-extreme approach to eating that sets you up for success. Now, if you're doing things for ethical reasons, that's an aside. That's not part of what we're discussing here. But what this is focused on is sticking to the science and giving you the simplest solutions to hit your goals, so you don't have to pick a side. You can still succeed, assuming losing weight, getting healthier is tops on your list. All right. So first off, we all know, hopefully, that weight loss still comes down to the law of thermodynamics. You've got to be in a calorie deficit, which means you've got to consume less calories than you need to maintain your weight to lose weight. It's simple math. Now, it's more complex than that at the end of the day. But the first piece, the king of all those calories, is your protein intake. Why is that? Well, on paper, protein has the same amount of calories per gram as carbohydrates, 4 calories per gram. Fat has 9 calories per gram. However, your body burns back some of those calories just to digest it, and that's where protein really shines. It's called the thermic effect of food. And up to 30% of the calories consumed from protein are burned off during digestion. Just think of a steak. Your body has to work hard to break that down into its readily available amino acids, fats, etc. So this adds up, right? The difference is huge because carbs are in the 5 to 10% range, and fats even lower at as little as 0 to 3%. So you absorb pretty much every gram of fat you eat. So how does that help you lose weight? Well, apart from some of those calories simply not counting, which means you're in a deeper deficit than if you were to have the same amount of calories with a lot more fat and carbs, research has shown that protein is a real diet hack. It doesn't defy that rule of calories in versus calorie out. You can still gain fat eating nothing but protein. But it helps. Here's why. Number one, it increases fullness. Satiety is the magic word, fancy word. It just signals your body to stop its hunger cues. It might have something to do with its impact on hormones, such as GLP-1, which we know is quite popular because that's what Ozempic artificially increases to reduce appetite. But it also has a reduction in the hunger hormone ghrelin, which is that signal that tells your brain to seek out more food. One study showed upping protein by 15% a day, they consumed 400 calories less each day by default leading to roughly 8 pounds lost over 12 weeks with no other changes. That's the beauty of it, right? Imagine if you do this, plus introduce working out, introduce calorie tracking, etc. Number two, though, just as important, it helps maintain muscle mass. Any sensible program should be focused on fat loss, not weight loss. It's a big difference here. When you reduce calories, you go on Weight Watchers in pursuit of losing pounds, muscle loss can occur, even with readily available fat on your body to lose. Why is that? Well, it's an efficient energy source for your body, and if you don't use it, you lose it. You're not strength training, you're not providing sufficient protein. You can get that skinny fat syndrome where you look like a bag of milk after losing 20 pounds. Worst case scenario. It also results in a lower resting metabolism because you've lost some muscle along the way. That's going to be one of those tools in your tool belt to maintain metabolism at a higher number so that sustaining your results becomes a lot easier. Because what we want is sustained results. There's been some trials of 6 to 12 months, people dieting on a high-protein diet and preventing that weight regain that is so prevalent with the common approach to just cutting calories. All right, so that helps. All good stuff, right? What else beyond the weight loss? It helps you age better. They did a research study on 50,000 nurses over many, many years. I think the 80s up until 2016. Healthy aging was defined as being free from the 11 most chronic diseases, good mental health, no impairments in cognitive or physical function. Okay. Higher protein was associated with higher scores of healthy aging when factoring all those variables. Well, why is that? Naturally, I think there's just an association between protein intake and healthy lifestyle behaviors. I won't discount that. But protein's role on bodily functions, maintaining muscle, reducing fat mass. It's an essential part of any diet. Your body needs protein. Because muscle strength isn't just for lifting weights, you know, carrying groceries, playing with kids or grandkids. Time and again, when our clients north of 60 join the program, the first and most beneficial piece we practice is increasing that protein and adding some strength work into their routine. And like magic, their quality of life improves immediately. Muscle is your best defense against age-related limitations, breaking a hip, you know where it goes from there, okay? Premature death, we don't want that. Muscle does burn more calories at rest than equal amounts of fat. It's not a huge difference, but consider like a Ferrari versus a Nissan Cube. I think that's what those are called. At rest, both are idling. One's burning more fuel, which is good in this context. You want to be more of a sports car, not a small, weak cube. Got it? Good. So how much protein do you need? Let's give you a takeaway here. Current recommendation is very low. Like the daily recommended amount is like a half a chicken breast a day for women, maybe a full chicken breast for men. It's insufficient. If you're looking for optimal, aim to be in that 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of body weight. So if you're 180 pounds, maybe that's 140 grams on the bare minimum to upwards of 180 grams per day. If you're really overweight, clinically obese, I would do the math based on your goal body weight, not your current weight. So if you're 250 pounds, you want to be 200, do the math based off 200 pounds. Otherwise, it's going to be an insurmountable number to reach. All right, lastly, the elephant in the room, are they dangerous? Do they destroy your kidneys? That was often a controversial myth that they cause kidney damage. It's been debunked. At McMaster University, examined over 24 studies involving hundreds of participants a few years ago. It was published in the Journal of Nutrition. No evidence to support this notion. In fact, the contrary is true. Higher protein increases, not decreases kidney function. So what does that tell you? Well, pretty safe bet. As long as you're drinking water, you're eating quality sources of protein, it's only going to benefit you inside and out. Now, if you do have existing kidney disease, that recommendation may have to change. I would definitely discuss with your healthcare professional because you may not be able to digest as much protein as healthy functioning kidneys. All right, leaving it at that. 10 minutes in, long episode. Appreciate you being here. if you're watching this, listening to this, before April 15th, we have a great five-day metabolism, Master Your Metabolism Challenge kicking off on Monday, free of charge. Link in the show notes. It's going to walk through all the things you need to do over 35 to get your metabolism back to where it once was. Cheers.